Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio, and I'm here with my friend and co-author Nancy Sexton Lopez and a very special guest who we'll be introducing momentarily. This is a program that grows out of the book that Nancy and I published a while back. It's called The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. And this new medium, not all that new, I guess, allows us to have a broader reach and to have a conversation with those who are listening, with audience members. And so a lot of what we do is we read stories from people who send us their stories and their stories of loss and healing, and then we talk about them a little bit. And so we invite you to share us your story. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to do that, you can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. And you can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. That's nsaxtonlopez at csmpc.com. And all the information I'm sharing in the beginning here is also in the description that accompanies the program, whether you're watching it live or on one of the rebroadcasts. You can support our work in a number of ways, through Venmo, through PayPal, through a monthly subscription. And also, this program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society. Dakin Humane Society is a multi-service shelter and expansive range of services, offers an expansive range of services. It's based in Springfield, Massachusetts. And one of the programs that it offers is a monthly cost-free Zoom pet loss support group that I facilitate. And again, it's totally free to you. And there's an RSVP link in the description. And I encourage you, if you're interested in joining us, and the next time will be this coming Tuesday, the 12th of December, from 6 o'clock p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, please click the RSVP link soon, because we put a cap on it. It's very, there's a lot of people who register.
Yeah.
And so we try to keep it down to around, we actually cap at 50, and usually about 25 or 30 show up. And we have a great discussion, because people come from all over the country and all over the world. It's very interesting when you hear not only the stories of people who are at different phases in their healing, but also coming from very different perspectives. It can be very helpful to hear those different standpoints that people are operating from. If you find this program valuable, please subscribe on YouTube, because if you do so, that helps other people gain access. It affects the algorithm in a positive way. And so if people are looking for pet loss support, they're more likely to find our program, the more people who have subscribed. Mm-hmm. And finally, we have recently entered into an affiliation with a great company. It's called Bereave. And Bereave offers these very nice granite plaques. They're really beautifully engraved. They're very solid. You can either use them indoors in perhaps a place where you keep mementos of your beloved lost companion, or you can put it outside as a marker. And so if you purchase a plaque through our link, that also gives us some money that provides support. So we get a little kickback, and that's always appreciated.
And there it is. And it's really heavy.
We made sure that they sent us one, and we took a look at it, and they seem like very nice people as well. So it's really a great place if that will be useful for you. So I'm going to do a brief intro of our guest, and Nancy's going to take us from there. But I'll tell you that Rick Rosman is the author of I Love You As Much and More Than This. And I want to show you the cover of the book. It's a beautiful book, beautifully illustrated book. And here's a little bit about Rick. Rick has been married to Wendy, his high school sweetheart, for 33 years. They live in White Lake, Michigan, and have raised three wonderful kids. And they now have their first grandchild. Congratulations, Rick. Rick played college baseball at Michigan State University and was drafted in the 8th round of the Major League Baseball draft in 1988. And the Rosman family enjoys boating and traveling and, of course, reading. And you can reach rick@rmrosman.com. There's also a whole bunch of information about Rick and about the book and a link to the book on Amazon in the description. So we think it's a beautiful book. I was telling Rick before we got started, if you know the book, Oh, the Places You Go, you can, All the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss, it's kind of a great book that you can give to people who are making a transition in their life. This is a great book to give to somebody you love, no matter what the relationship may be. It's such a wonderful message. So with that, Nancy?
It is a wonderful message. And there aren't a lot of pet loss books out there. There are some for kids. And so I think, Rick, we're really happy to have you on the show to talk about this. The title is so comforting and wonderful, right? I love you as much and more than this, right? So what we'd like you to do, please, is talk about Squirt. And I love that name. And your journey with Squirt. And how did you come to write this book with him as the main character here?
You bet. Well, thank you, Ken and Nancy, for having me on here. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be able to talk about the book and Squirt and how all this came to be. I will tell you, it started when my daughter was 11. Actually, started when my daughter was 10 years old, and she is now almost 28.
And here's your daughter, right?
That is her. That is her when we first got Squirt and when she was 11 years old. And what had happened is we were shopping one day and ran into a store, and she saw a woman with a little Yorkie. And my daughter is a very strong-minded, little feisty 11-year-old. And she told me, she said, "Dad, I want a Yorkie just like that. I want a little one. I want to carry him around everywhere, and I want to name him Squirt." And I said, "You do, huh?" I said, "Okay, well, we'll talk about it. We'll think about it." And well, about a year later, my wife and I said, "Hey, we've got a surprise for you." And we went to a local breeder who had Yorkies. It was in the town next door. We were in Brighton, Michigan. This was in Howell, Michigan, about 15 minutes away. And we went there and found the cutest little puppy we had ever seen. And he was about the size of a gerbil. And my daughter instantly fell in love and wanted to take him home that day. He wasn't quite ready, but, you know, we came back and visited until he was ready and then brought him home. And the rest is, you know, we started our lives together.
He is insanely cute. And so is his daughter.
Thank you.
So how was the journey? I mean, how old was Squirt when he died? I mean, what was the process then of the family bonding with him?
So we brought him home, and it was one of those things where my wife and I were like, "All right, this is her dog. You know, you told her, you got to take care of him. You got to clean up after him. You play with him." And we love animals too, but we wanted to kind of teach her this responsibility.
Sure.
And I'm thinking it's a little 4-pound dog, right? It's how hard can it be to take care of this guy? And well, he in day one, he attached himself to everyone in our family, myself included. I'm kind of a big, tall guy, and I never thought I'd be a little small dog lover, but fell in love with this guy pretty quickly. And he literally made his way into our family and had special relationships with pretty much everybody in our family. Megan, my daughter, was his absolute, you know, go-to and the love of his life. But he loved us all as well, and we returned that love as well.
It's interesting because he's so portable, right? I mean, you know, you can just take him everywhere, and I'm sure your daughter did, right?
Well, I will tell you this much: she had a special bag and took him literally everywhere. I mean, stores, restaurants, probably places she shouldn't have taken him, but most of the time they didn't know he was there, and then he would poke his head out, and he was so cute that honestly, most people never minded, and everybody wanted to come up and see the puppy. Even when he was 10, 12, 15 years old, they still thought he was a puppy.
God, he's so sweet. So then how old did Squirt live until? What was happening with him?
You know, he was about to turn 15, and this was in 2021. His birthday was in May, and his health was struggling a little bit at this point. And we knew things were happening, and, you know, we're trying to treasure every moment. And we wanted to get past his birthday and at least go, gosh, let him get his birthday in. And he did. And he must have known, because he came even more alive at that point and was turned back into a puppy. And we celebrated him. We put him on social media. My daughter put a bunch of pictures online, and I think he has his own Instagram channel still. But yeah, he made it to 15 and got a couple months beyond that. And you know, things started happening. His health was failing. He was having a, you know, trouble breathing. And, you know, so it just, you know, 15 and a half, and we were happy for every one of those years, every one of those months. And, you know, it was very tough at the end, obviously, but it's still tough even now, you know, when you look back. But we loved him to death, and he loved us.
So now what happened to him at the end? I mean, did you have to make a euthanasia decision? Did he die naturally? What happened with that?
Well, we kind of think he had some cat in him, because we feel like he had nine lives. And, you know, not that we wanted him to, you know, we wanted to keep him around, but we didn't want him to ever suffer, obviously. Right. And I was mentioning, you know, he had some breathing problems. So we were able to find a guy who had a portable oxygen tent, which really just helped him out. And then it got to a point where we just knew it was getting tough. So I found a veterinarian, a very caring veterinarian that lived right near my daughter, who was out in Arizona. And I called her up and told her what was going on. And, you know, a very compassionate woman. It's the hardest thing in the world to have to make these decisions. And she said, listen, I'll come out. Let me look at him. I will, you know, we're not doing anything unless, you know, he gets a full exam. And so she did, and I prepared my daughter for the visit, for, you know, what might happen. And, you know, she came out and, you know, did a great, you know, review and look over Squirt and his health. And she said, it's time, you know. And it was, you never want to hear it, but you also don't want to take him to another level where it becomes even more difficult. So it was, you know, that was kind of how things ended.
So, and was it in Arizona or Michigan?
Arizona, yeah, she was in Scottsdale. We were in Michigan, and, you know, we were sitting here struggling, probably even maybe more than my daughter, probably not, but it was just the waiting. And, you know, and then she called us and said, you know, when things were, had happened, and it was, you know, the emotions run through you, obviously, and it hits you, and you're sad, you're mad, you're, you know, it all goes through you, but we knew it was the right decision.
Okay. And your daughter was present, you know, obviously with Squirt then.
Absolutely.
When the veterinarian.
She was holding him in his arms. So.
Yeah. And that's always important. And she was his girl, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Wait, I got it wrong. Squirt was a boy. Yeah. So yeah, he was her boy. Yeah.
Her boy. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is always hard to make that decision, but it was also, it's also important, like, you and your wife and your family with your daughter talked about, you know, what was more important for Squirt, right?
Absolutely.
So that he didn't have to suffer anymore.
Well, yeah, one of the things that we often talk about is how euthanasia is a loving gift, really. Mm-hmm. It's the ending of the suffering. If people get so riddled with guilt about it, and that's really understandable, but it's so important to keep in mind that you're not killing them. You are ending their suffering, and you're making their path to transition more comfortable. And it sounds like that was very deliberately done in your family's case, Rick. You had a veterinarian who came and did that evaluation and gave you all that input. And it's really beautiful the way you handled it. It's great.
Now, did everyone, because everyone grieves differently, so how did the family, because you have two other children too, so how did everyone, it was a process, you know, so were there differences in how you and your wife and your other two kids and your daughter who was in Arizona grieved through this?
You know, I think anyone who's ever owned an animal, a pet that they love, I mean, it's not an animal, it's not a pet, it's a family member. And, you know, you don't realize it until you're going through that, like how difficult it is. And seriously, the emotions that come and hit you and stay with you for a while, it doesn't go away after the next day. It sticks with you. And even now, like, you know, we laugh, we tell stories. My daughter is really big on, you know, she's taking pictures and they pop up on your phone every year. And even now, like every day, almost every day, there's a picture of Squirt she'll send out to the family, and we'll laugh and we'll, you know, like, oh my gosh, he had such a strong personality for a little guy, for a little dog. And he just, you know, he'll continue to live on, you know, in the pictures and videos and everything else. But it was a tough time for quite a while.
Yeah. For everybody. I know that's a process, and sometimes it's more challenging than others, right? It, comes and goes in waves. So he died in what, 2021 or 21?
May of 21.
Yeah. So how did you get the idea of the book, and how did it become part of this legacy of Squirt?
Well, a couple things happened. I always wanted to write a children's book. I enjoy writing. It's therapeutic, if nothing more, and I enjoy it. Like I said, my wife's a first grade teacher, and so children's books have been around our world and our home for quite a while. So my daughter had a son, Madden, and I thought, you know, my Madden's first birthday is coming up. What better way to maybe celebrate than write him a book for him? And so I decided to take the opportunity for his birthday, and I needed a main character, and Squirt was the obvious choice.
He's the man.
And I had the story already in my head, and I thought, you know, my gosh, this dog has been so big part of our life, and literally every picture on every page, he has probably done something like that or very similar to that. So when you read the book, if you read the book, and I hope you do, is you'll see Squirt involved in a lot of ways and a lot of places. And if he could talk, he would have told us how much he loved us, because we know it, and we told him as well. So the story just came together with him and with Madden being here. So it was fun, and I was fortunate enough, and I'd like to at least acknowledge the illustrator I found. She's in Massachusetts, and her name is Corrine, and she's with usillustrations.com. She's a great lady. She was awesome. She was patient. She captured Squirt right away. I sent her a picture, and she did a free picture. And I saw it, and I'm like, yeah, you nailed it.
Really? Just to give an example, like, here's your daughter with Squirt. Here's the Here's another example. I mean, it's just beautifully, beautifully done. Sorry to jump in, but I just had to share that.
No, that's all right. I literally, for every page, I had the verse, I had an idea of the picture, and Corrine was great because we worked together, and I would have a vision of what I wanted. She would make the change, and I'd never done this before. So, you know, having not done it, I didn't know if there was a process or not, but we worked well together, and at the end, you know, the finished product, I was so excited and very happy to see how it came out. And we were fortunate enough to be able to share it with a lot of people in our world that are teachers and have kids and have pets. And so we had a very big welcome and to the book itself. And, you know, the fact that it's on Amazon, a lot of other people are finding it too for themselves, their kids, and people that have had pets that they've lost as well.
Now, what happened to you? Does your daughter have Squirt's ashes, or was there a burial? What did you guys decide?
You know, Squirt's still with us. Yeah, he's with my daughter, and yeah, he's still in the house. So, and we'll talk to him every now and then, and it still feels like he's with us. So,
oh, well, he will be. He is. He will always be with you guys, right? Right in your heart.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that strikes me so much about what you've done is you took the loss, and you turned it into a expansive message of love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always talk about how grief is the price you pay for having loved. And you took the grief, and you worked through the grief, and you also then went to that place of gratitude and sharing. And it's really a wonderful transformation in a way, like taking his life and making it into this kind of a message. It's really powerful, I think.
I'll tell you, Ken, I appreciate you mentioning that, because when I started writing it, I enjoyed it, but it was also therapeutic. I mean, to sit there and think about it and just get sad is one thing, but you start writing about it and you start laughing and you think of the stories and it all kind of, I would encourage everybody out there, if you've lost a pet, like, you know, write a book. Whether you publish it or not is up to you. Mm-hmm. It was great for our family, and it's easy enough to publish in today's world on Amazon or wherever with the technology. But it was something I really enjoyed doing, and I think it's helped not only myself, but, you know, my family and other people that we've talked to who have lost their pets.
And more people that will, you know, read the book, because that's what we do in our podcast here, right? We have stories first of all, is very healing, like you said, to write the story. And then it's even nicer in some ways for a lot of people to hear us tell the story.
Right.
And so it really is cathartic, you know, because this relationship was so important, you know, to everyone in the family or anyone who writes in.
And you know what, Nancy, that reminds me that I should remind people, if you send us a story, if you send us your note, we're going to respond. One or both of us will respond. And you can tell us whether or not it's okay to share it in this podcast, to share it in its entirety, or maybe parts of it you don't want us to share. We only share people's first name in any case.
Or then we change them if you want.
Yeah, we'll give you an alias if that's something that will be of comfort to you. And then we're also developing a blog, a Substack blog, and we'd like to know if it would be okay for us to publish your letter and our response along with our response. That's something that will be coming out soon that we'll be telling you more about.
Mm-hmm. But it's really a gift, right? So Rick, you gave the public a gift by sharing, you know, this beautiful story of Squirt. And I think it's going to help a lot of people, and especially little kids, right? Because sometimes it's really hard for parents to deal with grief with their children that are young, right? Because they don't know what to say, or they want to protect them from pain. And this is a kind of a book that would be really nice to kind of open that up, right? So... And so we talked to people about, no, it's important that you grieve in front of your kids, because they only learn from you as parents.
We're always their primary role model. And that continues for as long as we're alive, really. I mean, we're either a great role model or we're a role model for what not to do.
Sometimes.
So you are, again, the way I look at this is that it's a way to take the loss and make it all about gratitude for this character having been part of your life and now part of your heart, and sharing the story in a way that's really all about love. And I think it's the kind of gift that you would give to anybody who you have great affection for. That's the way I see it.
Well, it's a gift. Love is a gift. Hey, listen, you can't have unfortunately, most of the time, you can't have a relationship with a human like you can with a dog or a cat or whatever pet you have, right? Because it's unconditional.
Or
a
horse.
It's all about, or a horse. I'm not, and a bird.
Chinchilla.
Yeah, and I think, the book serves two purposes. Young children don't understand death. And I think, this book is one that you can talk to them about it and then also enjoy the story and the rhymes. And, I think I put somewhere either on the back cover or the front cover, like, continue, we did the I Love You Is More Than The Sky Is Blue. And in today's world, I think people enjoy, they don't want the book to end. So you keep your rhymes going. We still joke around here. We'll try to come up with ones that we haven't come up with yet. It's getting tough, but it's one that a story you could tell over and over, and hopefully kids will enjoy it. Parents will enjoy it. People that have lost a pet will obviously, enjoy it, or at least find some comfort in reading it. I've had some really nice reviews from people that owned pets and they made some really nice comments about that.
Yeah. So, we lost your audio, Nancy.
I just ordered the book. So when I read some of those reviews, so it's really good.
So, what might be your final message to people who are hearing this broadcast or rebroadcast?
I think, pets bring you joy and then when they leave you, it brings you pain. And, you got to move through it. You got to keep moving on. And, we have found some solace and, we still celebrate every day when we get the pictures of Squirt, and it took a while. My daughter did not want to get another dog for a while. She's like, I can't go through this again right now. But she worked through that, got to a point, and And we, you know, I was telling you guys earlier, we have another Yorkie in the family that, you know, she just got here probably about 3 or 4 months ago, and same is a little 4-pounder, and he's a little cutie, and it just, you start it all over again. And I think that part is healthy. It's comforting. And, you know, and you got to try to move past the sadness. And this is, at least in our opinion, was a good way to do that as well.
Well, the problem is that our companions never live long enough. Right. So we tend to, even though it's very painful, all that pain signifies, like Ken said, the grief of what a wonderful relationship you have with that animal. So you do it again, right? Even though it's going to be painful at the end, all of those years between, you know, getting that little companion and their death is worth it.
I think the happiness that they bring is worth the pain that one day you're going to experience, but it's a good trade.
And it's some people do decide that they're not going to do it again.
Right. That is,
you know, that can be their choice. But for most people, after a time, they decide that they're going to welcome another animal companion into their lives. And we'll often talk about how that's, and it's clear from the fact that your family brought in another little Yorkie. It's like a testament to the one who's lost. It's a testament to all that they meant to you. And you're willing to do it again, and you're willing to invest love, knowing that you're probably going to outlive them. Mm-hmm. But life includes many losses, and the more that we connect with loved ones, human beings and animal companions, the more we're going to lose. That's the deal.
But all your heart gets fuller and fuller, right? With all,
we get richer and richer in terms of our emotional connections and our the depth of our wisdom about what it means to be alive. I think
I read a quote today. I thought it was appropriate. It said, "Every little wagging tail has its own tail," and it just seemed to hit with Squirt.
Like, that's right.
15-year tail that we got to write and experience and just enjoy.
That's great. Well, we want to thank you tremendously, yes. Rick. Thank you. And again, the book is called I Love You As Much and More Than This. It's available on Amazon. You can see the link attached to this program. And also, if you find this program helpful, please do consider subscribing on YouTube, because that helps other people gain access to it. So
and
thanks,
Rick,
again.
Thank you, and good luck with Biggie Smalls.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll the adventure starts again here, so I appreciate that.
All right.
Take care, everyone.
All right. Have a good night. Thank you.